بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. First of all, it's not a bayan, it's just a small muzakara. My ustad, Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Salidi Sahib Damat Barakatuh, instructed me to do this program, saying that there's been a lot of mayyats, a lot of deaths. A lot of people have passed away. And just as it is compulsory and farz, that after a person passes away, you give him ghusl, kafan, give him a good burial, it's also farz to wind up the person's estate after he passes away. And he says many a times what's happening is, we are fulfilling this one farz of doing the ghusl, kafan and dafan, but this farz of winding up the estate is just being left on one side. So the importance of us understanding the importance of winding up the estate. Before the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was no laws of inheritance. It used to be the custom that people would just see who's the big person in the family, and he would take control of all the finances. He would take charge of all the properties. So it happened like this, that if there was an uncle, or there was a son, or there was a cousin who was robust, he was strong, he was a good soldier, then he would take over all the finances, and the women and children were left without any wealth at all. It happened that the Battle of Uhud took place. And in the Battle of Uhud, one Sahabi by the name of Hazrat Sa'd ibn Rabi' radiallahu ta'ala was martyred. So when he was martyred, his two brothers came and took over his entire estate for themselves, leaving his wife and his two daughters with absolutely nothing. So the wife, of course, she complained that, why are you taking all the wealth away? Your brother has left behind his two daughters. No one in Arabia will marry them if they have no wealth. So please leave something behind for them. But they took everything and they continued. She then went up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and put forward a complaint, saying that Sa'd bin Rabi was martyred with you on the day of Uhud, ya Rasulullah. And he's left behind two daughters. And his two brothers have come and taken over the entire estate, leaving nothing behind for his two daughters. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he heard this, he said, يَقْضِ اللَّهُ فِي ذَلِكَ. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will decide in this matter. And shortly afterwards, these ayat were revealed, لِلْرِجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ مِمَّا قَلَّ مِنْهُ أَوْ كَثُرَ نَصِيبًا مَفْرُوضًا. And all the ayat with regards to inheritance was revealed. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then called up the entire family and he said, 2/3 of the estate will be given to these two girls. 1/8 will be given to the wife, and the remainder of it will then be given to the brothers. So the shares were then declared by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran Kareem, there's entire ruku that is revealed in the 4th sipara. Yusikumullahu fi auladikum li zakari mithlu hazdil unsayin. You can ask the hufaz about the hardest ruku in the Quran Sharif. When you're doing imtihan, then they must test you this ruku here. So the entire intricacies of the miras is discussed in this one ruku of the Quran Kareem. And unlike the other ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like salah and siyam and zakat, etc., there's no details mentioned in the Quran Kareem. Allah ta'ala will say, aqimu salah wa atu zakah. But as far as how many rakat, how many salah there is, how the postures must be done, this was thereafter explained by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Mubarak hadith, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to the sahaba ikram, ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. But the details of it hasn't been explained in the Quran Kareem. But when it came to inheritance, then every detail, this person will get 1/8, this one will get 1/6, this one will get half, this one will get so much. Every detail of it has been explained in this one ruku of the Quran Kareem. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the end of this ruku, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sounds a very grave warning and at the same time very great fazilat and reward also. وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ يُدْخِلُهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا وَذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. Allah Ta'ala says, at the end of all this miras and inheritance laws, if you only obey Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for you gardens beneath which rivers flow, and you'll remain in these gardens of Jannah forever and forever, and this is indeed total success. At the same time, Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا أَبَدًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. That person who disobeys Allah, and especially in this regard, in the regards of inheritance, then for such a person is the fire of Jahannam where he'll remain forever and forever. And for him is a disgraceful punishment. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Now when it comes to this aspect of inheritance, miras and winding up an estate, then there's two aspects to it. One is before the person passes away, and one is after the person passes away. While the person still has life in his body, then here we have been instructed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to have a will that is drawn out. The person draws up a will, he has a will, and he fills that will up and he has it signed and he has it left. Now it comes in one hadith when Hazrat Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, he narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, مَا حَقُّ مْرِئِمْ مُسْلِمٍ لَهُ شَيْءٌ يُوصَى فِيهِ يَبِيتُ لَيْلَتَيْنِ إِلَّا وَوَصِيَّةٌ مَكْتُوبَةٌ عِنْدَهُ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, that a person should not allow even two nights to pass except that he's got his wasiyat and his will written out for him, and it's written, it's kept ready for him. Not even two nights must pass except that this thing must be ready. Hazrat Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, he says, when I heard this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I didn't even let one night pass except that I had my will ready and I had it all written, everything ready to because of this hadith which I heard from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now when living in a non-Muslim country, person living in a non-Muslim country, it's extremely important for us to have an Islamic will. Because this, if a person doesn't have this Islamic will stating that he wants his estate to be distributed according to the Sharia, then the state then takes control of his entire estate. What you call it? Interstate. It's called interstate. It's called interstate. Now the state will take control of it, and they will distribute it now according to the laws of the land. And now a person is now left in a situation where his children were supposed to inherit, other people were supposed to inherit. They may become deprived. Why? Because he didn't fill a will. He never signed a will saying that he wants this thing to be distributed according to the Sharia. Similarly, if a person is traveling, then ulama teach us that you should have a traveler's will with you as well. So in case you pass away in another country, that country cannot take control of your belongings, because the will there will state that whatever I have must now be returned to my family and must be distributed according to the laws, Islamic laws of inheritance, the Islamic laws of succession, and not according to the laws of the land. Now when it comes to drawing up a will, this is the most simplest thing, the most simplest, easiest thing. You can get wills that are available everywhere. This is just a sample will. This will here costs 5. It costs 5. If you download it, it's free of charge. Where there's just blank spaces, and you just have to fill in those blank spaces and have it signed. It's not necessary for a person to go to an attorney and pay exorbitant amounts of money and have it drawn up. We just have to have this will. We receive it, we sign it, and we have it ready, inshallah. Then we know, according to the Islamic rites, our inheritance will then be distributed. Now when it comes to writing out the will, what do we write in the will? As far as these wills that are concerned, these are just simple wills where there are blank spaces. We just have to fill in all the blank spaces and sign it. But there are certain guidelines that ulama-i-kiram have given us with regards to what we should put in our will. First thing is with regards to aspects that are faraz and compulsory for us. Number one is, if a person has anything that is outstanding towards Allah, which is called huququllah, person has salah, or zakat, or fasting, or hajj, which is outstanding and he never got a chance in his life to fulfill the qaza of that, then that must be written in his will, that I've missed so many salah, I've missed so many fast, qurbani hasn't been done for so many years, zakat hasn't been paid, and hajj, which was compulsory upon me, hasn't been done. Hence, from my estate, I want someone to do hajj badal on my behalf. So this must be written down. And thereafter, the fidya must be paid out. Fidya amounts, we'll get it from the jamiat, inshallah. How much is, what's the amount of it? And thereafter, for every salah, including the witr that was not performed, fidya will have to be given out with regards to this. And the second thing that we have to write inside the will is hukukul ibad. Hukukul ibad refers to anything that is outstanding to people. For example, debts. I'm owing so much of money, or I'm owing the business so much, or I'm owing this person so much. Or for example, I have some amanat in my possession. Someone gave me something and I've kept it as an amanat. So this which I've kept an amanat must be written down in the will. Because tomorrow if somebody comes and claims, you know, that car your father was driving, it belonged to me. They can open up the will and check. The father had it written there clearly in black and white. This car never belonged to me, it belonged to so and so. Everything is written there. Your affairs are all in order. When a person passes away, there are no gray areas. Everything is clearly written out. And a person, when he passes away, very easily, the executors can then distribute that estate for him. And as a result, he'll be relieved of all that burden. So this is the first thing that a person has to keep in mind, is what is faras for him to add in the will. The second thing is aspects that are sunnah to add in the will. Number one is, a person must identify what belongs to him and what does not belong to him. In the house, who this teaspoon belongs to? Does it belong to me or does it belong to my wife? It can't be belonging to everybody. Everybody can't be owning everything in the house. We must clearly define that this is my possession, this is your possession. And this must be also clearly written down, that this, what belongs to me, for example, my clothes in my cupboard, maybe the vehicle that I'm driving, as far as the kitchen stuff is concerned, everything belongs to my wife. According to whatever you and your wife and your family have decided, it must be clearly written down so everyone in the house knows what belongs to you and what belongs to others in the house. The second thing to keep in mind is that it must be signed, the will must be signed, and it must be dated, and in that it will dictate that the estate must be distributed according to the Sharia. The third thing that we'll write there in the will is who we are appointing as executors of our estate. Who we are appointing as executors of our estate, who we want must distribute our estate. As far as this is concerned, ulama kiram, they teach us that at least two people we should appoint as executors for our estate. One person can be an heir. Maybe like, for example, one of your sons, for example, you've appointed him as an executor of the estate. And maybe somebody else who is not an heir, but is a close friend or a family friend, then we appoint these two people, they will be executors. Mona, you can correct me as we bring along, so make any mistakes. Just correct me, guide me along. Maulana is more experienced. He should rather be doing the program, but nevertheless, inshallah. So you're appointing two people as executives. They will now take charge. And with that, if you want, you can get one alim also involved who will guide them in aspects of the Sharia, how to distribute that estate. So you've written there in your will that this person and this person, these two people are executives of our estate. And we must remember, whenever we are appointing executives, sometimes our people make this mistake. They appoint kuffar lawyers to become executives of the estate. This should never be done. We should never ever appoint a kafir lawyer to come and distribute our estate. We will distribute our estate according to how the Quran and the Hadith has taught us to distribute the estate. A kafir lawyer, what he knows about our deen, what he knows about our Sharia, he will distribute it about what comes into his mind and according to the laws of the country. And in this way, most of our things won't be in order. So as long as a person is a good, honest Muslim, and we have trust in him, we can appoint him as an executor of our estate. The fourth thing that you can put in your will is some wasiyat, some bequest that you want to make. For example, a person, he wants to make some bequest. And a bequest is permissible to make from 33% of the estate. Within 33% of the estate, you can make some wasiyat and bequest. So if a person wants to write in his estate that I make wasiyat, that from here maybe an amount of 10,000 rand, I want it to go to Randall Road Masjid. Because this was the masjid that I used to read all my salah, I used to use the facility, so I want some amount of it to be given to the masjid. But remember, we don't have to donate to the masjid only after we die. While we're living also, we should donate to the masjid. Some amount should be given. Because we are using the facility, the air cons, the lights, the water, the facility of the masjid, regularly we should donate to the masjid. But if a person wants to make a bequest and he wants to write something out, then he should write it out in his bequest. If he wants to give for somebody, maybe, you know, my maktab apa, who taught me when I was in grade 1, and now she's gone quite old. So you make a bequest for her, put it there in your wasiyat. So whatever a person wants to write in his wasiyat. And the fifth thing that we thought about, which is sunnah also to write, is some general nasihat and advice for the family. Family and friends, a person, normally we'll advise him, we'll call it nasihat. Nasihat we'll call it. The person, he gives nasihat to his family. After you pass away, that same nasihat, you call it wasiyat. You'll hear sometimes a person will say, you know, my mother gave me this wasiyat, she gave me this one advice. So sometimes it's nice to write out also some wasiyat, some advice. I just brought along with me one this thing, a wasiyat, yeah. This is the wasiyat of my ustad, Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Salehi Sahab, Damat Barakatuh, which he had written to all his students and all his muta'alliqeen, 4 pages of advice and nasihat that he had written out. This is his wasiyat. I also brought along another wasiyat. This is a wasiyat of my dada in his own handwriting. In his own handwriting, simple advice he's giving to the family. You must read just 5 times salah regularly in the masjid. make tilawat of the Quran Sharif and zikrullah daily at the home. Never ever bring a television into the house. Don't allow your children to play games on the screen. So some simple nasihat, but in his own handwriting. And when you read this as a family member, when you read it, it has a different effect on a person's heart. Now my father wrote this advice, or my grandfather wrote this advice. So we to also write some nasihat, write some advice in your own handwriting, and keep it in your will. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in one hadith, مَنْ مَاتَ عَلَى وَسِيَّةٍ مَاتَ عَلَى سَبِيلٍ وَسُنَّةٍ. That person who passed away leaving a wasiyat behind, leaving a bequest behind, leaving a will behind, if such a person has passed away, ala sabilin, on a clear path, and upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَاتَ عَلَى تُقًا وَشَهَادَةٍ. And he has passed away upon taqwa, and he's passed away as a martyr. وَمَاتَ مَغْفُورًا لَهُ. And he's passed away in a condition that all his sins are forgiven. For that person who leaves behind an Islamic will, so much of fazilat and so much of virtue, mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the same time, the ulama have taught us, one was faraz, one was sunnah, and then there are some haram and impermissible aspects that should never ever be included in the will. And that is what? Where a person changes the shares that have been stipulated by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So a person, for example, the Quran Sharif says that the wife will receive 1/8. So a person changes that in his will and says, no, my wife, I want to give her 1/2. Half of the estate must go to my wife. So if he's changed the laws of the Sharia, then here it becomes a major sin upon him. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us in the hadith. He says, إِنَّ الرَّجُلْ لَيَعْمَلُ وَالْمَرْأَ بِطَاعَةِ اللَّهِ 60 سَنَةً. Sometimes a man or a woman, for 60 years, they're making the ibadat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, ثُمَّ يَحْضُرُهُمَا الْمَوْتِ. And suddenly death now stares them in the face. فَيُضَارَّانِ فِي الْوَصِيَّةِ. Now they change the wasiyah, in the wasiyat, in the will, they make mistakes in this regard. فَتَجِبُ لَهُمَا النَّارِ. Now the fire of Jahannam becomes compulsory upon them, because they're changing the command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has stipulated the shares. We just go by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stipulated without changing the shares in any way. A person, he doesn't ask this question that now why in Maghrib namaz is 3 rakats and in Isha namaz is 4 rakats and Fajr namaz is 2 rakats. It's stipulated by Allah. We follow the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this regard. A person can't ask that why 1/8 for the wife and why 1/6 for the mother. Shouldn't it be the other way around? We don't ask questions. This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we accept the command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in this regard. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so easy for us that He's removed the whole burden of from a person's shoulders. How easy it is for a person. He doesn't have to break his head. How is he going to distribute the shares? Who am I going to give what share? Imagine what the toll it will take on a person's head if he has to sit down and try and work that wasiyat out. Now who am I going to give? For example, he thinks to himself, you know, my wife, let me see now. Let me give her a big share of my inheritance, because she made so much khidmat for me. Her whole life she sacrificed for me. She brought my children up. She did everything for me. So instead, let me just give her maybe 2/3 of the whole estate I'll give to my wife. So he writes that down, 2/3 for my wife. But then another thought comes to his mind. That, you know, is dunya to bari be wafa hai. I leave 2/3 for her. If I die, and tomorrow she gets another proposal, another man going to enjoy my money. Forget it, not 2/3. I'll just make it rather, I'll just make it 1/10 for her. Where will you start? Where will you stop? How will you finish this thing? Then if you want to sit and work out, okay, let me give my sons, my daughters, let me try and see now how I'm going to work this out. See, my sons, they're going to carry my name. I'd rather give them a major portion of my inheritance. So you write out a big part for your sons. Then you think to yourself, you know, my daughters, inshallah, they'll get married. When they get married, their husbands will look after them. So I don't have to really leave much for them, because they'll get taken care of by their husbands. And the thought comes that, what if they don't get married in wealthy families? What if they get married in poor families and they need the money? And they think that, you know, father left nothing for us. Now you'll be in such a turmoil, you won't know what to do. But Allah Ta'ala has just removed this whole burden from our heads, and Allah has taken responsibility of stipulating the shares, and we just go by whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stipulated. In this way, there's ease and there's afiyat for every person. Now imagine if we had to stipulate the shares. We had to stipulate the shares, we had to write it out, and then put it in an envelope, and then close it up. Now, the day comes when we pass away, and the person, father, is now buried in the grave. And now they come to open up the envelope, and all the whole family is sitting there. They open up the envelope and they see, right. Now let's see what the Abba left for us. Now one son, a big son, is watching. He's saying, okay, the father said that I must take charge of everything. The business is mine, and the house is mine. And the other smaller sons, they must fend for themselves. What those sons will do? You think they'll ever go back to the Kabristan and read Fatiha by their father's grave? They'll swear their father. They'll swear their father. And what this man did? He left everything for the big brother. What about us? The daughters will be complaining one side. You think they're going to be reading Yasin and sending for their father? They'll be swearing the father all the time. But yeah, Allah Ta'ala made it so easy. Who can complain against Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala has decided it and that everyone has to accept it. So in this way, there's so much of khair and there's so much of barakat. It's just accepting what Allah Ta'ala has commanded without changing the shares, without changing the inheritance in any way. The other thing which is very un-Islamic that is done in the world at times is where a person disinherits an heir. He disinherits him. For example, he has a problem child. Child now, for example, went into drugs. Allah save all our children and protect all of us from all this evil. But now the child brought disrepute to the father. So the father decides that I'm going to cut this child off my inheritance and I'm going to disinherit him from the will. And he takes his name out of there. So with regards to this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, من قطع ميراث وارثه قطع الله ميراثه من الجنة يوم القيامة. That person who cuts off the inheritance of any of his heirs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cut off his share and his inheritance from Jannah on the day of Qiyamah. Allah ta'ala save us. I remember once we went to visit one old man, so his son got married across the river somewhere, you know. So it became a big problem. Father didn't want him to get married to that girl. Muslim girl, but perhaps now it wasn't compatible to the family. So he disinherited his son, kicked him out of the house, got rid of him. When he's sitting there, old man is telling my father, he's saying, I disinherited that boy. I don't want him anymore. He won't inherit anything in my estate. So my father told him, Hadisaf, you'd rather just call your son back. Because Allah's qasam, the day you die, the Shariat will give him his full share. His full share of the inheritance he will get. The Shariat will give it to him. You're sitting here, you're crying about this. You'd rather bring your son back. You're trying to disinherit him. But Allah Ta'ala's hukam and command is, then the Shariat will give him his full share. If, because once his estate is wound up according to the Shariat will give him his full share of it. So this is with regards to the wills and drawing up the will. Then you come up to the aspect of winding up the estate itself. So now when the person is alive, we should have a proper will drawn out. Have everything written in black and white. And we know this is kept safely. One or two people in a family know where it is. It's kept safely. The day a person passes away, the thing is opened up and everything is written in there. Now in the person has passed away and it comes to winding up the estate itself. Now, this is another very important aspect of how is the estate going to be wound up. Here again, the executors, the family, they must put their heads down and they must regard it as a great opportunity that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given them to wind up this estate and discharge this obligation of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. As far as other ibadat is concerned, like namaz, like roza, like zakat, like hajj, people get many, many opportunities in their lives to do it. Winding up an estate, how many opportunities do we get in our lives to do it? Perhaps one or two, maybe our fathers, maybe our mothers. These are one or two opportunities in our lives that we get a chance to wind up an estate. Regard it as a great opportunity from Allah to fulfill a great ibadat and a great command. And every minute of our time spent in fulfilling and winding up that estate is time spent in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those lengthy meetings that we're having, drawing up an inventory with all the belongings of the person, trying to find out what the price of the property is, and then distributing all of that. Every moment of our time is spent in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when it comes to the estate of a person, remember every single thing that the person owns forms part of his estate. The attar bottle in his pocket, the tasbih that he used to use, the topi that he got on his head, his wristwatch, the clothes that he passed away in, all of that forms part of the estate and must be distributed according to the laws of the Sharia. But this is a great ibadah, and as far as possible, there must be no delay in the distribution of the estate. As quick as we can, we get everyone together and we try and distribute this. We should not delay. Sometimes what happens is, people delay in this regard. Now they say, you know, Ma is now in Iddat. It's not the right time now to distribute the estate. Just wait for her. Let her finish her Iddat. Then we'll worry about distributing the estate. Now Ma finished her Iddat. Now, hey, who's going to go and tell her now? She'll think we're going to throw her out of the house. So delay, delay, delay. It gets delayed. So much so it gets delayed that another person passes away, that another person passes away. Generation after generation after generation. Sometimes 3-4 generations, estates are not wound up. As a result, this becomes like a nightmare for the Muftiyan-e-Kiram, where they have to sit and work out an estate within an estate, in the terms of fiqh, it's called munasakha. The person has to sit and try and work out all of this here, all these big, big figures, try and work it out and distribute it. Whereas immediately we should try and get together and distribute that estate as quick as possible. I make a lot of shukr to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. When my wife passed away, with the advice of my asatiza, Hazrat Mufti Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, Hazrat Ma'ayyas Patel Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, within 3 days, alhamdulillah, we managed to distribute the whole estate. Whole estate was distributed within 3 days. This is only the grace of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And I'm just mentioning it as an ibrat, as a lesson, that it can be done, and it can be done immediately. We don't have to delay in this regard. Then, as far as the distribution is concerned, once we've sat down, the executors have been appointed, and now we are going to distribute it. The first thing that we have to pay for from the estate is the funeral expenses. The funeral expenses, whether it's the burial, the ghusl, the kafan, whatever other expenses are, we must pay for it. And alhamdulillah, we have very good burial systems here in Durban, in our country at large. We have very, very good burial societies. We must pay for it. Sometimes the burial societies, they say, you know, the whole mayat is done, but nobody gives anything towards it. Because, mashallah, they are taking response. There are many people who are taking charge of it, but we should give something towards it, find out how much the grave costs, how much the usal, kafan, etc., and pay off that. So that's the first thing that must be paid from the estate, is the funeral expenses. The second thing that must be paid from the estate is whatever debts were outstanding. Whatever money were outstanding, that must be paid out. And then the third thing that must be paid from there is the wasiyat. Whatever wasiyat the person made, so long as it's within one third, then that wasiyat must be given out. And then the remainder now will be distributed as inheritance. The shares, how to work out the shares. When it comes to working out the shares of the estate, here we have to refer to an expert alim. You have to refer to an expert alim in this field. You can't refer it to an alim like me. I'm teaching a maktab, alif ba. I don't know the maslas of inheritance well. So I'm not going to be able to help you out in this regard. But those ulama, muftis who are dealing with these things every day, like the Jamiatul Ulama or the different darul iftas that you have, you refer to them, explain to them whatever is. Give them a detailed list of all the family members. All the family members, the sons, the daughters, the brothers, the sisters, the uncles, the aunts. Write everyone's names down that this person passed away and give them a detailed list. They will then work out who will inherit and who will not inherit. And at the end, ask for a share certificate. Ask for a share certificate. They will issue a certificate to show that so-and-so passed away. These are the heirs and these are the shares that will be distributed. That share certificate will then go into your file, which you can keep, and you can show the rest of the heirs that this was obtained from a Darul Ifta, and this is the shares that have been distributed. When it comes to the distribution itself, then the first thing to keep in mind is to make an inventory of the person's things. Whatever he owned, you make a list of everything that he owned. Now when you say make a list of everything, you don't have to write like one ijar, one topi, one kurta, one. You just clothing, old clothing, his clothing, that's written as one thing. Then, for example, cutlery in the kitchen, groceries, furniture in the house. So you make a big inventory with all whatever the person owned. Then you'll go to somebody who can help you to put some values to these items. Like for example, you go to a furniture shop, ask him, you know what, there's a lounge suite here, the fridge is here, the stove, can you put some values to it? So that person will help you. But you go to somebody who knows about clothing, tell him I got about 2-3 bales of clothing, how much it comes to. So they'll put the notes there, they'll put the points there. In that way, you have the inventory drawn up. And when that is drawn up, now you call up a mashwara. Call up a mashwara with all the heirs, discuss with them, this is what our father has left behind, or this is what our mother has left behind. Here's the inventory, here's everything. And sit down and have a mashwara with them on how we're going to distribute it. One very important thing to keep in mind is transparency. We don't have like this, the executives, 2-3 of them, they're discussing a couple of things, the other heirs are unaware of what's happening. There must be total transparency in this regard. Everybody must know everything, what's happening. That this is what's happening. This is the properties that he owns. This is the bank accounts. This is how much money he had. Everything is clear cut. Then there's no reason for any doubts to crop up into the mind of any person so that creates fights and all afterwards in the family. Thereafter, a person can distribute the estate and should make everybody sign also. Once the thing is distributed, that you receive so much from there. So tomorrow there's no issue that can crop up where a person can say, you know, I never received my share, or I didn't receive my part of the estate. If there are orphan children that are there, then obviously you can't give the money to them because they are not of an age where they can use that money. So those children, there must be some guardians for them. who will look after that money, keep it in amanat, or invest it in some halal investment for those children. And when they reach of age, age doesn't mean bulugh, but rather age of where they can, sometimes a child can become baligh at the age of 11 or 12. But he's not at an age where he can use money, so you can't put the money in his hand. When he's at an age where he's understanding and he's mature enough to use that money, then that money can be given over to them. Some of the common errors that take place in with regards to this is people using the property of the deceased before the inheritance is distributed. When a person passes away, immediately whatever he owns cannot be used by anyone else, unless all the heirs make a mashwara to say that we all give permission that this person, our father, whoever it was that passed away, whatever he has left behind, anyone can use it. We give full permission for this. Once there was one buzurg, he was in his last moments of his life, and someone came to visit him. He was making him read talqin, read the kalima. While he was reading the kalima, the man passed away. As he passed away, this buzurg immediately switched the lamp off. Somebody asked him, it's night time, you can't see, why are you switching the lamp off? He said, the oil in that lamp belongs to this person, and he is deceased now. It's part of the estate. We cannot enjoy that wealth unless we get permission from the other heirs as well. So particular they were with regards to this. So it's nice if we just have a mashwara to say, okay, all the heirs are here. We're going to, if anybody gives permission to use, if there's an orphan child, you can't take his permission. You can't take his permission. So you have to make sure that we don't fall into this problem. The other thing that to keep in mind is always have a very big heart. Always have a very, very big heart when it comes to this. We have a heart of giving rather than a heart of taking. That I'm prepared to rather give rather than taking. Because what happens is then after that there's a lot of fighting that takes place in a family. And then this fighting is not good at all. Because it breaks up family ties. And Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he mentions one incident in his Malfuzat. Where he says once there was a father, he passed away and he left behind one piece of land. So he had two sons. Obviously the two sons that were left behind, they were going to inherit this land 50-50. So half of the land was given to one son, the other half was given to the other son. But there was a tree that was growing in the middle of this land. Now both brothers started fighting over this tree. That who's going to take this tree? Perhaps it was a mango tree with delicious mangoes on it. And they thought that perhaps they want it on their side. So they started fighting amongst themselves. Eventually it went to litigation. And they started fighting in court. They go, this man got his lawyers, this man got his lawyers. And they're fighting it out. And they're paying the lawyers. Eventually it came to a stage where the judge passed a decision that this tree will be chopped into firewood, the firewood will be sold, and half of the money will be given to this brother, half will be given to that brother. When this decision was taken, both of them were so dry of any wealth that they couldn't even hire a woodcutter to cut the tree and distribute it. So much of fighting. So sometimes we must just have this heart, that you know what, we give, don't go to court, fight amongst the family, etc. Person will give for the sake of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him more than he can ever expect after that. So this is a basic few aspects with regards to widening up the estate. Once one person came to Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Sahib Nawar Allah Marqadahu, he came to request him to take bayat at his hand. Hazrat Maulana asked him one question, before you take bayat, I want to know from you, is your family estate issues all sorted out? So he asked, Maulana, why are you asking me a question like this? He says, because I know the area that you are coming from, people are not particular about this. So he said, Maulana, not my father's, not my grandfather's estate is sorted out. So he said, then for you, it's more important that you go and sort that out first before taking bayat even. This person went and it took him some time, but he got all those issues sorted out. Whatever he could distribute, he distributed. Then he came back to Thanabon by Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. Now Hazrat asked him, he said, Alhamdulillah, all of that is distributed. So Hazrat then accepted him for bayat. He said, in this situation, it is more important to have our mu'amalat, etc. in order, rather than coming and taking bayat. All these issues here are more important for us to get it distributed. And why is it so important is, this is with regards to halal and haram. So with regards to halal and haram, a person is now, he's eating from the estate, but he's eating his sister's share, he's eating his brother's share. That wealth that he's eating is haram for him. How can he partake of that? So a person should have this concern, this worry, that how we can try and distribute this thing as best as possible. If we have any issues, we're not sure, we don't know where to start from, where to end. But remember, deen is easier. Deenu yusrun. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, deen is easy, not difficult. We think like it's such a difficult thing. How are we going to distribute this thing? How are we going to start? Where are we going to finish off? It's very simple, very easy. All we have to do, if we find it difficult, contact our accountant, contact ulama-i-kiram, ask them to help us in this. And inshallah, in a short while, we'll find that an entire estate will be distributed. And in this way, we can earn the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah. I don't know anything you want to add to it.